Final announcement this evening, folks, is we will be celebrating the Lord's Table first Sunday of June. I do believe that's 2 weeks from today. Today being the 21st, I believe. So, yeah, that'll be a good time. We always enjoy that as a church. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's good testimonies tonight, good prayer requests. And don't forget to take this prayer request list home and pray for these dear folk. They need our prayers, particularly Pastor Leon. We need to lift him up to the Lord for a miracle of healing. He's not getting any younger. And so we thank God he's in the Lord's hands. But let's stand at this time for our final hymn tonight. Let's open up to 171. Hymn 171. And the Lily of the Valley, that's our Lord, for sure. We'll sing all three. Of 171.
Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me everything on him to rule. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty power. I have all for him forsaken, and now my prison's torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith in his blessed will. Oh, wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweetness he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every day on him to roll. Hallelujah! He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen, amen. I'm so glad he is tonight, beloved. Now, police crews are out there. I don't know if they're there. Maybe they got somebody pulled over. Always some evil going on out there in the world. But we're so glad to be in the house of God tonight. Safe and secure in the arms of the Lily of the Valley. Yes, indeed. Now, please be seated, church. And also grab your Bibles at this time. And open up to the first epistle of John. This morning we're in the Gospel of John. Tonight we'll open in the first epistle of John. And I've got a rather different message for you tonight. As you'll see rather quickly. First John. Flip over with me to chapter number 5. And I want to call your attention to a few verses here tonight, church, having to do with prayer. And I want to look a little deeper into the text, into the passage, see if we can't discover something that most Christians overlook. look with me here. In, because we're living in a time, folks, where God's people don't know how to pray, don't want to pray, don't have time to pray, and pray for the wrong things. Amen? But look with me here in 1 John chapter 5. I want us to begin reading down at verse number 14. Remain seated. 1 John 5:14, we read, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Now, beloved, here is an incredible passage concerning prayer of the believer. And he says quite clearly in verse 14, this is the confidence that you and I, as God's people, have in him, Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But I want to take it a step further tonight, beloved, and read that verse again. And it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything not according to his will, he heareth us not." Does that make sense? Am I delving a little too deep here? Or would you happen to concur that if we ask anything that is not according to his will, he heareth us not? Now, God knows and hears everything, but he heareth us not, I say, in the sense of not answering that request. Because that request, that desire, that petition is not according to his will. And we have a whole bunch of people in the world today praying for things that they ought not to be praying for, and God won't hear them. And they're saved. I want to speak to you tonight a message I've entitled, "Prayers Not According to God's Will." Father in heaven, I thank you. Sometimes perhaps I take things a little too far, but it just makes sense to me that if it's according to your will, you hear us. If it's not according to your will, you won't. Pretty simple, Lord, but that makes not rocket science. Now, Lord, I thank you tonight that your word throughout warns us about not praying according to your will. Your word and your promise to answer is not a blanket statement. It's not a blank check. Lord, we cannot have anything our little evil hearts desire. As many televangelists tell you, "I can make you rich if you send me $1,000. Lord, I'm so thankful for the Bible that makes it absolutely clear that when we pray, if we want you to hear us and we want to answer that prayer, it must be according to your will. We thank you for that tonight, Lord, and we'd ask you to bless your word concerning prayers not according to your will. Amen. Amen. Beloved, look with me here and flip back from 1 John for a moment. Go to the book of James. James chapter 4. Just laying a little groundwork here. Won't be long tonight, but look at this. James chapter 4 says, "From whence or where come wars and fightings amongst you?" You know, folks, I've been pastoring for, since 1992 or something like that, a long time. And I cannot tell you the number of wars and fightings I've seen amongst God's people. I'm here to tell you tonight that it's off the charts. It is ridiculous because it's supposed to be God's love and peace and joy. And I'll tell you, one of the problems is found right here in James chapter 4. "From whence come wars and fightings amongst you?" Let me ask you a question, church. Oh, man, I just got to pause. Who is James speaking to? Is he talking to the lost world? Nope. The church. Watch it. "Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members," the flesh. "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." Somebody's not getting their prayers answered. See that? "Ye fight and war." You know, some people aren't happy if they're not at war with somebody. Isn't that sad? I really feel for people like that. They're just not happy if they're not at war with somebody. "Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye consume it upon your lust. Verse 3 makes it clear that they're praying. They're believers, but they're not getting their prayers answered because they're not asking according to God's will. They ask amiss. That means they ask not according to God's will. But this is serious business tonight. I want to give you a few examples here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. From the Bible of prayers that are not according to God's will. Very important that we understand this. Go to Exodus chapter 33. In the book of Exodus, we have a prayer that is not according to God's will. Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because I don't want us to be praying. I want us to be praying according to God's will, not against God's will. Amen? In Exodus chapter 33, you know the situation. Moses was supposed to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. But Moses sinned, and he wasn't allowed to. So God chose another man named Joshua to lead them in and conquer the Canaanites. And he did. But look in chapter 33 of Exodus at verse number 12. We read, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, Moses, and thou also hast found grace in my sight." He did. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." Notice verse 13, "I pray thee," he's praying. And here's his prayer, "Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Moses is praying a prayer that is not according to God's will. You do not ask Jesus Christ to manifest himself to you physically. It's not according to God's will. He said, "I want to see you, God. I want to see you face to face." Now look at it. Verse 14. "And he," God said, "my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses wanted God to prove to him that he was with him by appearing. Are you catching it? And God says, "No. For look at it. 16. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" Well, how about when he split the Red Sea down the middle? How about when he fed you the last 40 years with manna from heaven? Moses, how about when he brought you water out of a rock and you never thirsted? How about when your shoes don't wear out after 40 years of walking in them? You getting the picture, folks? He's doubting God. "Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." He's praying the same prayer again. Now let me ask you a question. Did God want Moses to walk by sight and not by faith? No! God wanted Moses to walk by faith and believe that God was with him. But Moses wanted proof. He wanted to see God. Verse 18. He said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face." That's what he wanted. "For there shall no man see me and live." He said, "I'm too glorious for you to look at." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." You can only see God through a rock. "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now, folks, here we find a passage of scripture where Moses, the great man of God, great servant, great leader of Israel, wanted to see the Lord physically. But folks, listen to me. That prayer is not according to God's will. Don't pray. You know, this guy, he said that a 900-foot Jesus appeared to him at Orson, what's his name? And, you know, folks, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm telling you that that 900-foot Jesus that he saw, who told him that every American must send him $281 or he would kill him, that's not the God of the Bible, folks. That's another God, small g. That is ridiculous. The Lord is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's not appearing to people in bodily form. Okay? Why? Because that prayer is not according to God's will. I see another prayer that is not according to God's will. Flip over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 3. See, your prayer that is not according to God's will can sound good. It can sound very sincere. Moses, I want to see your glory, Lord. Oh, show me your glory. No, no. You can't see my face and live, buddy. You cannot. It's not according to my will. Now, it will be God's will for you to see him face to face. Somebody tell me when. When we get our glorified bodies and we're in heaven with the Lord. Not until. In Deuteronomy chapter 3. They're rehearsing all that the Lord has done for them. Going, it's the Deuteronomy, it's repetition, is what Deuteronomy means. And look here in Deuteronomy 3 at verse 21. Chapter 3, Bob, verse 21. And I commanded, this is God speaking. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fail them. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. You don't have to fear anything when God fights for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works? None. And according to thy might? None. I pray thee, same wording, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. And see, the land was all the way to Lebanon back then. And it will be again. The royal grant, the borders, the original borders of Israel will be their borders during the millennium. Mark it down. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. Notice the wording in verse 26. God's not hearing Moses, the great man of God. That's right. Why? He's praying a prayer that is not according to God's will. I'm going to show you that. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, satisfy thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. You know what, folks? Sometimes we will harp on God and beat him like in prayer, like a dead horse. Oh, give me. I want this. I want this. Give me. Please. My flesh has to have this. And the Lord says, speak to me no more of this matter. You better stop asking him for that item that is against his will. Look at it. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, Moses is rehearsing what God had said to him before he asked him, can I go over and go into it and see the land myself? So Lord said, you're going to see it with your eyes, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Why? For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. Now, Moses says, God would not answer my prayer. Oh, woe is me. Poor me, oh my. You ever throw a pity party? Should we break out the violin now? Hey, if you're asking God for anything that is not according to his will, I got bad news for you tonight. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it because it's not according to God's will. That's not mean. That's a blessing. Because some things we want, we don't need. They might not be good for us. Listen to me. Point number two. Point number one. Wanting to see the Lord physically is not according to his will. Point number two. Wanting to go where the Lord forbids us to go is not according to his will. That's pretty simple. wanting to go somewhere where God does not want us to go is not according to His will. Thirdly, go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Oh, how I love 1 and 2 Samuel, the life of David. Woo! A.W. Pink, Arthur Pink, he wrote a book on the life of David, taken all from 1 and 2 Samuel. If you have not read The Life of David by Pink, oh man, it is so good. You won't be able to put it down, trust me. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Somebody in this chapter is attempting to avoid punishment for sin. Look at it. I'll show you that in verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we'll be reading in verse 13. Look with me. Verse 13 says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." That's punishment for sin. "And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child, that Uriah's wife..." I love how the Bible doesn't pull any punches. Not David's wife, Uriah's wife bare unto David. "And it was very sick. Therefore David besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in." He's praying. He's praying hard. You got a sick kid, you're going to pray. "And he lay all night upon the earth. Oh, please, God, let the baby live. Please don't take my son. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them." He was fasting and praying and seeking God. "And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" Now, folks, listen to me very carefully. David here was asking God not to take the baby to heaven. We know where the baby went. David said of that same baby, "One day I shall go to be with him." Where was David going when he died? Heaven! He's a true believer in Old Testament sense. So we know the baby went to heaven. But David said, "No, I got a better plan. Don't take the baby. Let me keep the fruit of my sin." And God said, "No." Why? Because David was wanting to avoid his punishment for sin. Listen to me. Wanting to avoid punishment for our sin is against God's will, folks. If we've messed up in some area of our life, in some way, somehow, somewhere, God is going to let you know about that. Sometimes it can be real sharp, but you're going to know the hand of God when He strikes. "Don't resist the loving chastisement of the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Wanting to avoid punishment for sin. There is no punishment for sin, according to these guys today in the mega churches. "Oh no, God is love, God is peace, God will never strike you." Oh yeah? I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, buddy, anywhere near you when the lightning falls. Now, fourthly, there's another prayer not according to God's will. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Told you we won't be long tonight. But certain prayers, and the Lord gives us example after example after example in His Word of true believers praying against His will. You say, "Oh, I'd never do that." Watch out. Watch out. You may do it without realizing it. Ezekiel chapter 20. Oh, how I love the book of Ezekiel. Man of God. Woo. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1. "And it came to pass, in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me." Now, Ezekiel was one of the great prophets, major prophet of the Old Testament. So the leaders, the spiritual leadership, quote unquote, of Israel, come to him. "Hey, we want to ask you a question, prophet. We want you to talk to God for us and give us an answer." "Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you." Whoa! God just told Ezekiel, the man of God, to tell these believers, Old Testament believers, that he was not going to hear their request, whatever it might be. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God know what it was going to be? Let me think about this one. Yeah! He knows everything. He knows what they wanted, and he knew that it wasn't according to God's will what they wanted. What did they want? Drop down with me through this chapter to verse number 30. You'll find out what they wanted. In verse, all this, he's lambasting them, all through these verses. You dare to come before the living God with a wicked heart. In verse 30, wherefore say unto the house of Israel, God tells Ezekiel what to tell them. Thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? Yup, they were. For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Whoa! Before we continue reading, I want to make a statement. When God says, I will not hear your prayers, you're in deep doo-doo. You're in big trouble. They had done things that were unspeakable. They were sacrificing their children to Moloch. Folks, I'm not exaggerating. It says so in the text. 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. You know what they wanted from God? They wanted to be just like the world. And they were coming to have Ezekiel ask God if they could have their wooden and stone idols, their demon gods, and serve Moloch and do all this wicked abominations. And God said, I won't even hear their request. I won't even hear it. Not from this people. Listen to me, folks. Wanting to be like the world is not according to God's will. And he will not answer that prayer. Let me just have the clothes that they wear and all the makeup that they put on and the miniskirts that they wear. And all. No, God says, no, I won't answer that. You can't do that. If you want to be mine, you're not going to be like the world. See that? You know, separation is a doctrine of the past in our churches today. Nobody's preaching against separation anymore. You want to look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world? And they can't even tell you're a Christian. Look at verse 32. And that which cometh into your mind, see, the imagination, the mind is involved, shall not be at all. He says, you're not going to get what you want. And you're going to be sorry in the end for wanting it. That you say, we will be as the heathen. That's the world, the lost world. We want to be like them. That's what they said in 2 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, they came to Samuel and they said, inquire of the Lord. We want a king like all the peoples, like all the other countries. We want to be like them and have our own king. God said, I am your king. I am your king. And from that day forward, God gave him a king named Saul, and they didn't like it. And they fell down as a result. All right, folks, we've seen that wanting to see the Lord physically is not according to God's will. Wanting to go where the Lord forbids us to go is against God's will. Wanting to avoid punishment for sin is against God's will. Wanting to be like the world is against God's will. But one final thing. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, New Testament. Say, oh, that's just Old Testament stuff. Oh, really? You think God changes from the old to the new? God, we change, but God don't change. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look with me. The great apostle Paul. The man of God, the greatest missionary that ever walked the earth. And he says this in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, he was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul had a problem physically. It had to do with his eyes. He suffered great pain. For this thing, optometrist could probably give you the medical term for it. I can't. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why, Paul? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, beloved, we have a great message in closing tonight. And it is this. Wanting to escape distress and persecution for the name of Christ is against God's will. Did anybody hear what I just said? Because we've got churches that are full with thousands and thousands of people who call themselves Christian and they don't want to suffer for Jesus' name. Paul said, you know what? Now that Jesus has explained to me why I'm suffering, it's because of his name that I preach. I glory in my weaknesses, in my persecutions, in my distresses, in my imprisonments, in all things that I suffer for his name. I rejoice because his grace, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Oh, folks, don't pray to escape the distress and persecutions of the world for the name of Jesus Christ. It's part of the Christian life. It's part of the Christian life. I'm here to tell you the truth, folks. To my dying breath, I'm going to preach the truth from this pulpit. You, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, Peter said, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Because on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. On you resteth the Spirit of God. Oh, beloved, what a privilege it is to suffer for his name. Oh, what a great reward awaits us in heaven because we suffer for his name. And folks, in reality, let's stop and pause for a moment. How much do we really suffer for his name? We're not being burned at the stake. We're not being tortured and whipped and imprisoned by Nero. We're not suffering. But if we do, how precious is it to know that it's for Jesus' name? Listen to me, in closing, wanting to escape distresses and persecutions and infirmities for the name of Christ is against the will of God. You know what these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers will get up and tell you? Message after message after message. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be perfectly healthy. Anybody listening? God wants you to be happy all the time. Oh, really? Well, I'd have some questions for some folks in the Bible that weren't, and it was according to God's will. Why? Because they lie to you. They make it sound so biblical, so scriptural. They'll even point to people in the Bible and say, oh, see, Solomon was rich. Solomon was miserable. Solomon turned to idolatry. I don't want what Solomon had. 1,000 wives? Oh, my. He had problems. He had big problems. And, folks, we don't need them. Because why? We don't want to escape. Paul, at first, said, oh, Lord, I can't take this. I'm suffering as I serve you. And then Jesus explained to him, Paul, that's because I want you to know your own weaknesses so that you'll recognize my hand of power and strength working in your life. That's good stuff right there. That's biblical. Folks, George Washington Carver wrote these words, and I quote, my prayers seem to be more of an attitude than anything else. I indulge in no lip service to God, but I ask this great God silently, daily, and often many times a day, to permit me to speak to him. I ask him to give me wisdom, understanding, and bodily strength to do his will. Hence, I am asking and receiving all the time. Carver said, when I pray and I ask God, I receive an answer to that prayer all the time. Why? Because George Washington Carver was receiving answered prayers. He was praying according to God's will. He was praying according to God's will. And beloved, I have good news in closing. You've heard all the bad news. Here's the good part. You pray anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that whatsoever he heareth us, we have the petitions we desired of him. He says God will give it to you as long as it's according to his will. Oh, he's so good, church, tonight. Pray. My message tonight is simply this. Pray. But pray according to his will. I love how Paul says in Romans chapter 8, praying after the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Amen. The Holy capital S. Not after the flesh. The problem today is, church, we've got a whole bunch of Christians that are praying in the flesh and asking God for things that they don't need. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for prayers that are not according to God's will, that we learn by them to pray according to God's will. Lord, it's a sweet treasure that we have. Carver said, I ask this great God to permit me to speak to him daily. Oh, that's so good. When we realize, Lord, it's a privilege to be allowed to speak to the living God personally. And then, Lord, we realize, Carver realized, that he better be speaking to you according to your will and not the flesh. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that good godly example there, that we too need to speak to you daily. We're permitted, but we must speak to you according to your will, Lord. We must seek your face in these last days. I know one thing, Lord, that's according to your will for the lost to get saved. And we pray for souls, Lord, for this church. Give us souls, Lord Jesus. Give us souls for salvation, oh God. May multitudes around the world get saved as a result of hearing our services here in Hooksett, New Hampshire, in the United States, Father. And then, Lord, our prayer, something else, is for saints to get right with God. They're saved, but they're asking amiss. They're backslidden. They're off in the world. You can't even tell they're a Christian. We pray for restoration. That's according to your will, Lord, that they would be restored. Restored to the place of fellowship, to the place of blessing. Bethel. El Bethel. The God of the house of God. Lord, how we thank you tonight that these are prayers you will answer. Oh, Lord, how we thank you tonight that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is going forth abroad into all the earth through this little church. We thank you for that, Lord. That's according to your will. And Lord, you're bringing forth much fruit through it. We love you tonight and we thank you so much for teaching us to pray. But not just any old prayers, Lord. Prayers according to God's will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for a closing hymn tonight. Ah, yes, indeed. Let's open up to 231, because really, hymn 231 says it all concerning prayers not according to God's will. 231. Do you need them, church? Yeah, you do. We need them every hour. We'll sing the first, third, and fourth, folks. 231. Oh, how we need. We're lost without them. Altar is open. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tenderness like thine can be so afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
last. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, only thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Oh, amen, amen, folks. So good to be in God's house with you today. What a blessing to worship the living King together. And week after week, we draw closer to Him as we see the day approaching real quickly now. He's coming. Father, we thank You so much tonight for good services today. Lord, we thank You that the services are good because of Your divine presence, Your sweet Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord Jesus, I thank You that we do not serve Thee in vain. We know that our labors are not in vain. And we know that one day we'll be rewarded, but that's not why we do what we do. We do it because we love You supremely. You are the living God. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master. We just love You today. Tonight, Lord, we ask that You'd bless the word that has gone forth today, that we may take and apply it to our lives, O God, that we be better servants for Thee. We thank You, Lord, that we need to be cautious in prayer. We need to be cautious in what we pray. And Lord, we thank You that Your word makes it absolutely crystal clear that You always hear us, Lord, when we pray according to Your will. You're ready, willing, and able to answer those types of prayers. We love You tonight. We ask You to bless us as we dismiss. And Lord, we ask You to use us throughout this week to bring souls to Thee, invite somebody to church, but more importantly, to open the Bible and invite someone to Jesus Christ. Lord, that's the starting point. That's where life eternal rests, in the bosom of the Son. We love You and we thank You for it all. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen.